Beckham, oh my word, he's completely fooled on now. And there is the second goal for Real Madrid, David Beckham. Golazo! Daniel Bolson, Tero Cristiano, Mr. Champions Gold, Juventus Zero!
This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
And welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it's good to hear, not hear from all of you, but it's good to be with you all again. If you haven't already done so, please check out the channel that I created with my good friend, Jota Real Madrid. Jota Real Madrid is he does YouTube videos and comments on news from Spain. All about Real Madrid, of course, and he has two channels. One is Jota Real Madrid and one is Dr. Jota, and so he does those two channels. I got together with him and we are doing now a channel in English on YouTube called Real Madrid Hub. So we do daily news of everything that's going on around Real Madrid, all the news coming in, whether it's about transfer news, rumors, injuries, which we've had a lot of, and just anything going on with Real Madrid, it will be there on that page, on that channel, on YouTube, with either Jota or myself narrating it. So you guys can see us there. You guys can see, for those of you that follow me on Twitter, you can see my face reveals there, my little studio here at home. So that's pretty much it. I thank you guys all for listening to the podcast. You can, as always, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, or find the podcast, I would say, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. So that is the best place to find our podcast. In social media, I am most active on Twitter, so shout out to everybody. Me personally, I am on Twitter most of the time, pretty much during the week, commenting with a lot of you guys back and forth. So some of you that are listening will have spoken to me there as well. I am on Twitter at Y Nada Más Podcast. And then we also have part of my team that does designs and different things, keeping up with the news that's going on, mostly results and things like that. We're keeping up on Facebook and Instagram. But it's not as we update it regularly, but not nearly as much as Twitter. So I guess the most active platforms would really be Twitter and the YouTube channel, Real Madrid Hub. That's where, you know, I'm pouring my work into there with Jota. Jota is doing his daily thing as well as on his channels. So if you guys can go over there and subscribe to that channel, that would be great. We're currently growing. We're at 58 subscribers. I know that's not a big number yet, but we just started maybe 2 weeks ago. Jota has a lot of followers in Spanish. He's got over 100,000 something followers on his YouTube channel. So he's trying to get them all over, but you know, his news is mostly in Spanish. So this is Real Madrid news in English. So it's really for all of you guys out there that are, you know, following Real Madrid from the non-Spanish speaking countries, which of course, you know, have shout out to all of you guys from India that have been supporting. Gotta say, I have a lot of fans out there in India, the Middle East, obviously in Australia, the UK. Then there's other places in Europe like Sweden. You know, it's really all over. But my Indian peeps, man, you guys are really showing up. So shout out to you guys and thank you very much for the support for the podcast. We really appreciate it here, and just wanted to give all of you a thank you very much. You know, we're still here, you know, at the beginning of the podcast. This is episode, I think it's 22. I might be wrong. But we're still, you know, in the infancy of it. And it's a crazy season. It's a crazy season to be a part of Real Madrid because, or not be a part, but to do be doing a podcast. Because, you know, I was actually thinking to myself the other day, it wouldn't have been as fun to do a podcast. You know, it's not as fun to do a podcast when you're winning all the time. And I'm not trying to say that I don't want us to win, but there's far more drama when things aren't going well, of course, because if we were dominating the league and winning, you know, 32 games straight or something like that, you know, you're just going to come on every podcast every day and say, you know, maybe give some stats, you know, who performed the best, kind of seeing what's going on in the transfer market. What can we do here? What can, you know, who got injured? I mean, I guess there's always drama to talk about with Real Madrid, especially because the Spanish press is always going to jump in and do their thing. But we're at a time where Real Madrid is definitely, you know, in a struggle, I would say, in a crisis. But it's not a, it's a crisis because it's a growth situation coming out of one huge era, which I know a lot of you guys that follow Real Madrid now are probably, some of you younger, some of you older, you know, if you're from the older generation, such as myself, I would say that got to see, you know, the Galactico era, and also got to see, you know, the Raul era, and, you know, guys like Zidane, Ronaldo Nazario, Roberto Carlos, you know, Guti, all these guys before, let's say, this new generation came in with Cristiano and Benzema and Bale and that dominant era. So there's, you know, all those era, there's that era. And then there's the era of, like, you know, La Quinta del Buitre with Butragueño, you know, and Michel. And, you know, there's so many different eras that we're definitely proud about. I mean, I obviously don't know if anybody from, you know, the Di Stefano era is listening, but and so every one of those eras, every one of those big eras has a time when things drop a little bit and when, you know, we don't do as well. And that's kind of what we're going through right now. And I would say, you know, I'm starting off this podcast kind of explaining all that, but saying, you know, just how fun it is to do a podcast when there's drama. It's part of the game, you know. Like I always kind of say, our expectations are very high for this team, always. Mostly to its due to its legendary status, due to its, you know, winning ways. But football as a whole just seems to be changing, and it kind of sucks, I guess, because for some of us, it's Cristiano. Seeing that Cristiano is getting older, you know, he turned 36, and then Neymar is getting older, and then Messi is definitely getting older, and so that era of giant players, you know Zlatan. So there was kind of these like big players, you know, especially, you know, when we consider, and there's more, obviously. I don't want to discount, you know, the other plays that were out there. You know, obviously guys that were a little bit earlier, but, you know, Thierry Henry and Robin Van Persie and Arjen Robin and, you know, Wesley Sneijder and Andres Iniesta and Xavi and, you know, all these players from all over different, whether you're a Barcelona fan or a Real Madrid fan or a fan of, you know, other big teams, you know, is Manchester United a big team? Oh, I'm sorry. They are, but they were doing quite bad for some time. And so, you know, but it's that ebb and flow of football that's interesting. And it's kind of a sad time because, you know, some of these big names, you realize, you know, that quote from that message from Cristiano Ronaldo where he said he, you know, he's been playing the game for 20 years and he wishes that he could promise 20 more years of doing the same thing. But, you know, we all know that's not a reality, and that as long as he does play, he's going to give 100% of himself, you know. And for us that are Real Madrid fans that came from, you know, watched during that era, it's a sad thing. I mean, you know, seeing Benzema, his form is obviously not where it used to be. But then you got a lot of these younger people that come in and you know, they kind of hate on Benzema. And it's kind of like it's disconcerting because it's, you know, Benzema has been is such a has been such an incredible player for Real Madrid, and at the same time always underrated or hated or slept on. But he's such a unique player. But the thing is, now it's like people don't see that he's, you know, for me, it's like I feel like people don't see that he's literally alone up there in our attack. And aside from that, I mean, he can't do everything alone. And he himself is not going to be in good form all the time. It doesn't always happen, you know. So those things occur. So it's a very interesting time to be doing a podcast for Madrid. But I think I got into it at the right time, you know, definitely, like I said, jumping into it from COVID and all that stuff. Because I was doing other podcasts that were about, you know, my other passions, which are, you know, you guys that have listened to me for some time should know, you know, that they were fighting and kickboxing. And I used to be a kickboxing coach and training, and I still am, but I haven't, you know, gone to the gym much since my kids were born. And then also since COVID started, I kind of just decided, hey, you know, I'm going to go and really pour myself into this passion, you know, which I've always had. And I've always been an avid football, you know, fan, especially always of Real Madrid, but watching really every league. So with that said, which is, that's a freaking drawn out intro, huh, guys? But, you know, going into, you know, what happened with Real Madrid this weekend, I mean, we got the win. I don't want to celebrate it too much because I'm happy about it, as all of us should be. But, you know, it was a grinded out win against Huesca, which is, you know, sitting essentially at the bottom of the table, you know. And it really is, you know, sort of like we had a grind out, you know. And for a lot of you that are listening, I'm pretty sure it's, you know, we shouldn't be grinding out games against the bottom team. You know, we shouldn't have to grind out wins against the bottom team. And I mean, it wasn't, and our team didn't seem like it was waking up until we got scored on, you know. That was when it seemed like, I mean, honestly, I was just in a bad mood watching that game. If you guys were following me on Twitter, I mean, I just felt like there was some, my animosity towards the game was kind of strange, but I just, you know, I hadn't been happy. You know, there was so many things that were just, that the team has been just, it's been a sad state of affairs for the team for, and then everything, listen, you know, just seeing all the things that are going on in the news, and because I follow it with Real Madrid Hub, and I'm cool, you know, talking about all the news and, you know, the story of Sergio Ramos not renewing, and, you know, that's up in the air. But at the same time, you know, now he had to go and get surgery, so he's going to be out, and then Hazard is out, and we know he's, you know, for everything that we're hearing the reports of, he's very depressed about the situation of being injured again. And Odegaard is on loan, and Jovic is on loan. And so all these things are happening. And it's just been sort of a very negative time. And so that first half was just very, I don't know. I mean, I don't even, you know, I didn't rewatch the game, and I usually do. But, you know, I was looking at the stats and reading articles and checking out, you know, other people's takes on things, you know, because, you know, Jota did his take on it. And I don't know, I went into that game with it was kind of a rough, one of those things where you go into the game not expecting much. You know, you want the win, but it just was... you weren't expect. It's almost like you go into these games hoping that we win, but kind of realizing you might be heartbroken. So that's what was going on with Real Madrid, I feel like. But man, you know, it was so nothing happens until the second half. Essentially, the first half, you know, it seemed like a very stop and go game. Not very. It seemed like there was a lot of, you know, Luka Modric, who's obviously by now is like my favorite player. He wasn't having his best game, you know. And I saw a lot of things that I didn't like. You know, I felt Odriozola is just a disaster at left back. Vinicius, I mean, I saw a lot of, you know, comments about him doing a lot of positive things, and he did show some nice moves and some, you know, some nice runs and some attempt and some dribbles and things like that. But his finishing in the final third, his finishing is still that issue. His finishing is still a problem, you know. If you look at it, I mean, he had one key pass, you know, 57 touches, zero shots on goal, you know. You know, he did have completed four dribbles, you know, he was dispossessed, you know, one time, you know, so he, you know, there were things there, but it was just, you know, unsuccessful passes, you know, just, or bad control of the ball, that success does happen, you know, with him. He is looking, I felt like this game, he came out a little bit more fired up. He looked a little bit better, but it was still not something that I would, you know, for me at least, you know, people might disagree, but I just didn't think it was anything that I was, you know, willing to tweet, oh, wow, you know, it's so solid, you know. And I saw guys from, you know, I follow like the Real Champs and, you know, all the guys from Managing Madrid and all these guys. And some of them were saying, you know, he's doing what a lot of us were hoping, you know, wanted to see more of, which is that always thing, you know, those runs that he makes into the box, and he was dribbling, and the attacks were coming mostly from the left side because they were using his speed. And so there was some positives there. But in the end, it didn't result in much, you know. I think honestly, you know, Rafael Varane was you know, the star of the game, of course, because he scored the two goals. You know, he was a rock at the back, six clearances, interceptions, you know. He pounced on the ball when he needed to in order to get those two goals. So he ended up saving the game for us. But besides that, you know, we also had, you know, those guys, it's almost like, you know, even with Luka Modric not having the greatest game, he still, you know, had that just beautiful assist to Benzema, that if that goal would have been scored, it would have been, you know, that little back heel assist that he did was beautiful. His control and everything is amazing. It wasn't his best game, but the best game, I think, you know, the best player on the pitch aside from Varane, Casemiro, was just absolutely amazing. Five interceptions. You know, he was just a very, very, you know, tough player. You know, he had 92 touches on the ball, 91% pass accuracy, three shots on goal, two key passes. He was essentially like all over the field, and just recovering the ball. Aerial duels, six of the aerial duels were won. He was essentially the one who put the ball into the box for Varane. You know, got that assist. I mean, so, you know, there were good things. Toni Kroos had an absolutely bonkers game when you look at it from the statistics. You know, with six key passes, it's just amazing he didn't get any assists. I mean, 96% pass accuracy. He had, you know, but the funny thing is I tweeted that during the game. It was, why, the thing that strikes me the most is, it's like, what good, and I wrote this in that on a Twitter post, it's like, what good is having this, you know, amazing midfield, you know, that we all have agreed on it, this amazing midfield this season with Luka Modric, you know, playing, having one of an amazing season, Toni Kroos again having a great season. Casemiro started out a little up and down. I mean, then he got COVID, and then he definitely seems like he came back. I mean, he was one of the best players on the pitch, and that midfield. But what good is there in having that midfield if you are not going to be able to score and you don't have the players, or you don't have the offense, you know, those guys that are creating chances, such as Toni Kroos, like again, with the six key passes, they're creating chances, but there's nobody finishing them. You know, Benzema, you know, he had six shots. Four of them were on target. He couldn't score. You know, it's kind of the same thing where we're in this goal drought. Vinicius, obviously, like I said, a lot, some great movement, but it amounted to nothing. It was just, they were at the end, like you're saying, like I'm saying, it was, with the reason I would say, it, you know, it's nothing to write home about is because at the end of the day, he didn't have any shots on goal for everything that the midfield was providing to him and essentially providing him some things to do. He didn't get any assists. He didn't do anything in that sense to really merit anything further than saying, you know, hey, man, that's a couple good runs, a couple good dribbles. You know, and I'm trying to hate on him. I'm just saying, like, this is why there's all these, you know, the questions pop up. And I always say, like, how long are we supposed to wait for Vinicius? For everybody out there that's a Vinicius fan, how long do you think we need to wait for him? Are we going to wait for the Vinicius that everybody is hoping shows up, will show up? I mean, at this point, I don't think there is any reason to continue waiting for him. If, you know, we're so in need of attacking wingers that are valuable in the sense that they help us score, whether they're putting in, because dribbling into the box is one thing, but at the same time, you know, that issue of him not being able to finish in the final third is a definite problem. You know, and his decision making is a definite problem. His decision making was better in this game. I'll say that. You know, he attempted a shot on goal, beautiful pass from Toni Kroos. It was a chip and it just missed. He was unfortunately offside. It would have been an amazing goal had he had scored it. But you know, it's just too little of it that we're seeing. And he's played a lot for people to say, you know, he hasn't played enough or he doesn't have. And I do think, yes, I honestly do think that the whole issue with Ferland Mendy and Benzema, you know, that idea of Benzema saying, you know, you don't play for us or you're playing against us, you know, don't pass that ball to him because he's playing against us. I mean, there were times where it was just, you know. And then I do see oftentimes, I don't know if it's an attitude from Ferland Mendy and Benzema to sort of avoid Vinicius. There are times when I feel like, I don't know if I'm just trying, kind of looking too much at it or reading into it too much, but there are times where I see them, he's like wide open or he's ready to go on a run again and they don't pass it to him. And then I'm just wondering if they're like, yeah, well, what good is he passing it to him if he's just going to dribble and then he's going to, you know, he's going to cross the ball wrong. He's going to make a bad pass. He's going to shoot on goal and it's going to be a complete miss, you know, like, do they trust him enough? And that's the problem. And I think him as a player, he's also going to feel it. And this is a young guy too, you know? So for me, that's rough. And then Marco Asensio is showing up again. I mean, he's definitely coming back with more fire. I felt like he was fighting for, out of all the players on the pitch, the offensive players on the pitch, he was the one that was, for me, trying to do the most. You know, he was fighting for the ball. He was trying to get the ball. He was trying to recover it. He was making runs, making passes. He tried to make shots. You know, he had a couple shots on goal as well. I think how many shots did he have on goal? Two key passes. Looking here at who scored. He had three shots, you know. He was trying to make things happen. And we're seeing this kind of fire from him a lot more lately. And I hope it comes. I don't know if he, you know, cuz there was that time, you know, a couple seasons ago where he was completely on fire. I liked seeing him. I mean, I remember feeling like this kid was the future. And now that's kind of died out in me, but seeing him on the pitch, I kind of don't know what's going to happen. I always feel like this season, it seems like, and before, it seems like he was always doing better on the left than he's doing on the right, at least this season. And I don't know if you know, how sometimes I'm torn on, you know, if we're going to do this whole revolution thing, is Asensio one of the guys you're going to get rid of, or is Asensio one of the guys you're going to keep? You know, some people, some Madridistas want him gone, some don't want him, and then some Madridistas, you know, still want to give him a chance. I think there's definitely talent there. I think there's definitely heart there as well. But it's just going back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast and going into these eras of the, you know, the Galactico era and the Cristiano era or the BBC era. You know, we're so used to having, you know, multiple threats on the pitch. Being Real Madrid, it's almost like every player that is on Madrid should be a threat. Every player, when Madrid takes the field, it's almost like you expect that every player is somewhat threatening. You know, Marcelo in his heyday, definite threat. You know, if we're talking about the BBC era, obviously, like I've said over and over and over again, you have three guys that can all score if you leave them alone. So the defense goes crazy on trying to cover who to cover. And then you have Bale, and Ronaldo and Benzema switching positions constantly, you know. And then you had the back three that we currently have, just a lot better. And before that, you had other guys like Xabi Alonso, you had Ozil, you had Di Maria, you had other players that were just as good at attacking. You know, when it came to attacking, they were just as strong. So you had so many players that were just so threatening and could cause havoc at any time. And then on set pieces, you know, if the ball, especially in the era with Cristiano, I mean, not only you have to worry about Varane, and not only do you have to worry about three guys like Cristiano, Benzema, and Bale that are all good in the air, but you have to worry about Sergio Ramos, you have to worry about Varane, you have to worry about Casemiro, you have to worry about so many people that could score on you in the box, you know. And I think the stat was said that apparently, you know, that Real Madrid is the team that has most won goals, or has scored goals from set pieces, from corners this season. I might be wrong. I might have heard that wrong. I don't have the stat in front of me. But, and essentially, Huesca was the one that had received the most goals on corners. So we still have that aerial threat, but it's the rest of the game that is just absolutely gone. It's just a lot of movement in the midfield, and great movement in the midfield, and creativity, I feel like, in the midfield. But then there's no opportunity, just no, the final pass goes in, and then there's just no one to finish it. You know, because it's either Benzema, and then if it's not Benzema, if he's misfiring, then you're stuck with, you know, like I said, you're stuck with a Vinicius that makes bad decisions, an Asensio that it wasn't on fire, but he's getting back into it. You had Lucas Vazquez, who had a good season, but it's not like he's a, you know, on a tear of goals. And then Hazard, who's just consistently getting injured and who hasn't scored. You know, so it's just been rough, you know. And for us to squeak out a win against Huesca keeps us in the fight, and I'm excited about that because it keeps us in the fight. And I was very happy about Zidane's speech, you know, the fiery press conference that he had with Juan that was all over the news in Spain, and everyone's asking, why are you angry? Why are you angry? You know, and I mean, dude, the press can be like, they could be total dicks. So, and ask just completely stupid questions, you know. And it doesn't matter, like, what kind of press, whether it's the sports press or entertainment press and all this stuff, you know. They can always make questions that are, you know, designed to sort of get you off guard and either make you say something, maybe, you know, spill, you know, some more information, or get you angry so that you they get a rise out. If they get a rise out of you, there's even more news to. So the news was definitely, you know, Zidane was saying, you know, we deserve this chance to fight, to continue to fight with Real Madrid. We deserve the chance. We're the champions. We're still the champions of La Liga, and we deserve the chance to fight for our title, regardless of the fact that it's, you know, still out of reach. I mean, it feels very out of reach, but this is La Liga. I mean, this is football. You know, things happen all the time. Slip-ups from teams like Atletico can happen. And it's also important for us to continue to fight with our biggest rivals, which are Barcelona, you know. And they won their game today. Not an easy game against Betis. And you still see the weakness in them, you know. And the weakness is there until Messi comes in on the field and works his magic. And, you know, everyone's scared of having somebody like that on the pitch. So it's that type of difference maker that, you know, those type of players that, you know, having him on the field scares the shit out of the opponent is something that Real Madrid doesn't have right now. You know, Barcelona, regardless of how bad they are playing or how we're playing at one, you know, because they've been playing a lot better now, have that X factor that is always going to be Messi, and everyone's going to be scared of him, because whether he's having a bad day or not, if he just decides to, he decides to show up on one play, he can make all the difference. But they also have other players that they currently have other players that can score, that can create chance, that are creating chances. You know, for everything that was being talked about them being almost finished, they're starting to show up, and they have talented players. I mean, I've never felt that them, you know, like a lot of people talk about Dembele and Griezmann, and these were guys that, sure, Dembele gets injured a lot, but he's not injured right now, and he's starting to find his confidence again, and that's a dangerous kid. Now, I mean, he's gotten older, but I'm just saying, he's gotten older. He's not I wouldn't say he's a kid, but he's starting to show what everyone expected to see from him. He's very dangerous, and most of the attacks I saw today came from Dembele's side, you know. And then you have Griezmann, and then you have Messi, and you have Pedri, who's been a revelation. And they don't even have Ansu Fati with them right now. And this is a team that's kind of all, for all intents and purposes, kind of on the end of their cycle, because, you know, Messi, where is he going to end up at the end of the season? Is he going to leave? Whatever. But they have some players that are tough, and I just don't feel like we have those players too. But we have them in the midfield. Like I said, Modric, Toni Kroos, Casemiro, difference makers. Always. You know, Sergio Ramos, who I hope, you know, doesn't leave. But if he does, he does, whatever. Varane kind of made the motion that his mind was in Madrid. Don't know if that means he's going to stay, what, you know, but he kind of made that gesture when he scored. And those two guys are difference makers when it comes to our defense. You know, Varane with his slip ups can, you know, he has slipped up, but, it seems he's back in, he's getting back into that Varane that we all know and trust, you know? So we do have the difference makers, but where we're lacking the difference makers are where we need them the most, and that's to score goals and win games. And not just score goals and win games, but where you go out there and to the point where when we see players out on the field, when we see our team take the field, we're not all scared shitless about what's about to happen. And that's what Madridistas are going through right now. We're all scared or worried about every game. I mean, we go into a game against Huesca worried. You know, we're winning 2-1 against Huesca after making a comeback because they, you know, scored in the 48th minute, which was a beautiful goal by Javi Galan, you know. So, but we're all just hoping and praying for the final whistle to blow. You know, because, you know, that's just the way, that's what's going on with Madrid. And the ball hit the post multiple times. And, you know, Rafa Mir is a, you know, solid player. And, you know, and then Courtois saved our ass big time. You know, from a point blank range header. I believe it was by Rafa Mir. You know, so, yeah. So, you know, those were the things, those are the things that it's just like, in the days of Cristiano Ronaldo and the Galactic, you wouldn't go up against teams like Huesca worrying about them. And that's not taking things away from Huesca, as people, you know, these teams, you know, you play who you're put in front of. And you know, shout out to these teams that know that, you know, they don't make, maybe have a quarter of the budget, if that. You know, they'd be so lucky maybe to have that budget, a quarter of our budget. But, you know, they have a budget that's so much lower than ours. And they're all just out there fighting, you know. So shout out to them. I mean, at the same time, you know, I think a lot of times we make jokes, you know, oh, you know, how Barcelona celebrated for a huge, you know, for that comeback win versus Granada of all teams, you know. But Granada is, you know, they're not a bad team. I mean, on any given, you know, that whole saying, on any given Sunday, anybody can win. And that's kind of how it is. You know, it is those teams that usually make the big teams cry at the end of the season. Because it's if we would have won that game, if we would have won this game, if we would have won. You know, what happens if we catch up, right? If we catch up and we get close to Atletico Madrid and we're off by a couple of points, and it would have been like, oh my God, if we just wouldn't have tied against Osasuna. You know, if we just wouldn't have tied against Elche. If we would have beaten Alaves or Cadiz in the first time we played them. Those can come back and bite you. And it's a lot of times these smaller teams that do that to you, you know. Those are the points that slip away that can come up and cost you at the end of a season. You know, and Madrid has been struggling against all these lower teams, all these lower rung teams and mid-table teams, more so than they have against the top teams. And so it's almost like, sure, and for us Madridistas, it's gotten to a point where, you know, we're happy for a win against Huesca. And I'm happy for it. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, as they say. I'm happy about the win. We're still in the fight. And I like the fact that they showed grit and they went after it and they continue to fight. And you know, and that the attitude was like, we got to come out. And I hope this, you know, this attitude that Zidane, I was saying it in the Real Madrid Hub video that I had put out last week, after the press conference, and I was saying, I hope that this attitude that Zidane is showing of being pissed off at the press, give us a chance. Don't discount us yet. We're not out of this yet. There's still 54 points to play for, you know. At that time there was. Now there's 51 points to play for now. We got those three. Now there's 51 more points left. So there's still more points to play for. You know, tomorrow Atletico Madrid plays. We'll see what happens there. You know? That's going to be, you know, and so it's important that, you know, the other thing that was discussed on our Real Madrid Hub channel Jota brought it up, you know, about, you know, the rumors about Raul being sort of the front runner for replacing Zinedine Zidane. You know, Raul and Nagelsmann, but Raul being one of the names mentioned. And it's who's kind of talking about how Zidane might be too buddy-buddy with, well, not too, he not might be. We know he is. He's too buddy-buddy with some of his core players, the players that have got him results in the past. He's very buddy-buddy with them, which is why we're seeing this issue of not playing the youth players that we, you know, that so many people are feeling that he's not the type of person to take this team into the future with these youth players that we have. So he's too buddy-buddy with them. And that essentially is what needs to change. And so I'm wondering if that, like I said, that same attitude that he demonstrated to the press, is that the same attitude he's going to take into the dressing room? Or is he still going to be best friends with all these guys? You know what I mean? Because there's got to be a fine line when you're a coach. When you're a coach, you have to draw the line sometimes. There's got to be times where you're going to say, right now I'm talking to you like a coach. Like, you and I are friends because I think you're a great player. Or I played with you, like in the sense of, like in with Sergio Ramos. You know, he played with Sergio Ramos. Essentially, they were teammates at one point. But now I'm not your teammate. Now I'm your coach. Now I'm the one who's calling the shots. And I'm telling you, this is what I need you to do. And with the other players that he might be have a good relationship with, it's where you have to essentially almost toe the line between, yes, man, you know, you're my friend and I love you, but right now, I got to talk to you. Right now, it's business. You know? So, this is a funny thing. I mean, I'll take this sort of aside from about attitudes. So, I had this boss, right? We're still friends to this day. I had this boss when I was working in radio. And he was a tough, I mean, he still is. He's a tough son of a bitch. You know? Really nice guy. But when it comes to business, he is all business, you know, and that's where I'm saying you people need to draw the line between what is friendship and business, what is understanding that football is a business and that these are professionals, you know. Because, man, like I'm his friend and I get along with him, and outside of work, like we're totally friends. And, you know, I've met him for coffee and gone out, you know, my wife and I have gone out with his wife and him. And, you know, we've gone out to dinner and that kind of thing. But I remember when I first started working for him and I was like, dude, I was scared of this guy. He was my boss. And I was scared of this guy, you know. And, you know, because like when you effed up, you know, like if you messed up, he would tell you you messed up and he would make you feel that you messed up, you know. And it was almost like at that moment, he had this way of doing things where it's like at that moment, you knew you weren't talking to I wasn't talking to my friend. I was talking to my boss. You know, he had a very good way of making you differentiate that there's a time for friendship and then there's a time when we're at work and I'm your boss now. And no amount of me being your friend is going to stop me from treating you like an employee or telling you, not treating you like an employee, but essentially like, hey, work needs to be done and you're messing up. And I, one of his best friends, you know, one of his best friends worked in the same place. My boss had brought him in because they grew up together, working together and everything. And he was like, listen, man, he's a great guy, but he's definitely knows how to differentiate between business and personal life. And he's the type of guy that will fire you on Friday and invite you to church on Sunday. Like that's how he knew how to differentiate things. You know, it's like he will, and I invite you to church because he was a very, you know, he's a very religious guy and, you know, he goes to church and everything. But he was the type of guy that would, yeah, totally. He would, if it was about business, he would fire you on Friday, but you're still going to be boys on Sunday. And some people can't differentiate that personal. Like a lot of us, I think, in our daily lives, we can't differentiate the personal from the professional. So plenty of people would be like, yeah, well, dude, if he fired me, man, fuck him. I don't want to be his friend anymore. But it was business. It's like The Godfather. It's not business. It's not personal. It's business. You know? And that's where I feel Zidane doesn't have it. You know, and that's, as much as we love him and he's done so many good things, it's like he's got, Jota says it sometimes on his Spanish thing, where he's like, the problem sometimes that people are feeling with Real Madrid is that became un club de amigos, a club of friends. Like it became like Real Madrid, we're all buddy-buddy playing football together, you know? And that's why I feel some of these youth players were on the outside looking in, because they were kind of like, hey, man, we're part of this club too, and we can show, you know, Jovic and Maldegard and you know, all the youth players that want to come into the starting 11. We're like, hey, man, you know, we're here to play football too. We would like some chances. You know, you guys did buy us. You brought me back from loan from Real Sociedad, where I was getting plenty of playing time. Can I have some playing time? Hey man, you guys bought me from Eintracht Frankfurt because I was banging in goals. Can you play me a little bit more? And it was almost like, yeah, this is, you know, my boy Karim plays striker. So, you know, unless he gets injured or, you know, we have some time during Copa del Rey, I'll play you, you know. It's like, nah, dude, you know, Isco's my buddy. And I'm talking like Zidane right now. I doubt he says like, dude, what's up or whatever, but. So, you know, Isco's my friend, and, you know, he's done a lot for me in the past, and I kind of feel like I owe it to him. So, you know, and Modric and Casemiro and Kroos are kind of my boys, you know. So, you know, just stay and fight for your place. And I get the idea of staying and fighting for your place, and he should have, you know. He's still a young kid. I mean, come on. And then nobody expected Modric. I think a lot of people weren't expecting Modric to have the season that he's been having, and that there would be more rotation. And nobody was expecting injuries like this. And nobody was expecting COVID and all these types of things to play a factor. So all of those things come into those decisions. But there is a club there like that is just way too much of a fraternity, it seems like. And that's what maybe needs to be broken up, you know? And that's why, you know, Jota was suggesting that Real Madrid, the reason they're looking at Raul is because Raul had this very clear idea of professionalism and clear idea of, you know, we will do what it takes to get things done. But at the same time, you know, that's why I kind of like Nagelsmann as an idea, because he's a guy who's coming from outside the club, doesn't know the name. So if you have somebody that isn't buddy-buddy with anybody, he can kind of start fresh with everyone, you know. But then you have the issue that Sergio Ramos is there and he's got an ego and he's older than Nagelsmann, or, you know, and might be like, nah, man, I'm not going to let this guy tell me what to do. I run the show here. Or Modric or Casemiro or Kroos, you know, guys who are like, you know, we have been here for a longer time. We have earned our spot. You can't tell me where to go. Or Karim Benzema's doing that, you know, if these guys don't end up leaving, right? You know, and somebody like Nagelsmann comes in. So that whole issue needs to be torn up, you know? And I think that's where those things are where we're going to get results or start seeing changes being made. And that is, I, you know, so speaking of like going back to this Huesca game, you know, and also, so going back to the Huesca game and getting away from talk about the coach for a second, going back to the Huesca game, it's also, you know, a lot of people pin a lot of things on Zidane and pin a lot of things on, and at the same time, it's like I said, you know, the whole idea of the conversation that I was having right now, in the sense of, you know, I hope he's instilling this attitude of, you know, let's fight for what's left and let's not, let's go for it. Let's not be buddy buddy. let me, the same attitude that I'm demonstrating to the press, I need to demonstrate it in the dressing room. You know, I'm all cool with that as long as we start seeing results from it, you know. But at the same time, people lay so much blame on Zidane. Even myself, you know, sometimes it's because, like, where do you point the blame? You try to find the culprit because you're pissed off and you're trying to figure out, you know, how do we get some wins out of this team? Because this team's playing terrible. How do we get things back on track? So you're trying to find culprits, and then the press is trying to find a culprit too, and they're always going to point at the coach. But as I've said a lot of times on this podcast already, we can't just lay the blame at Zidane's feet, you know. And a game against Huesca, as hard as it was, because they're the last, you know, even checking my, and I have to check my own attitude in this sense, because as non-impressed as I was about squeaking away a win against Huesca, right, I have to realize, look what's going on at the club, you know? Look at all the injuries. Look at that injury list. And now potentially Militao can be out, you know? We know Sergio Ramos is going to be out longer. Hazard, you know, everyone that's out, Carvajal, Lucas Vazquez, Fede Valverde, Rodrigo. I mean, you name it. We don't have him. We don't have them. And so you're fighting that too. You know, so it can't be all Zidane's fault. He's not the guy. He's not the one getting these guys injured. You know, so at the end of the day, he's got to play with what he has. Now, sure, you can start saying, yeah, well, then you shouldn't have let guys like Odegaard go when now you're missing midfielders. You shouldn't have let guys like Reguilón go or Brahim Diaz go when the team was... you know, the squad list was already thin as it is. But he's not a mind reader either. And he can't tell the future. Not a mind reader. He can't tell the future. He's not clairvoyant, you know? So he can't be like, hey, guys, you know, I'm going to keep all these players because, you know, who in their right mind would believe that all of these injuries were going to happen? Who would foresee that? No one's going to foresee that. Hey, man, I'm going to need four right backs because my first, second, and third option are going to get injured. Nobody thinks that way, and nobody thinks that's ever going to happen. You know, because imagine how pissed off the players would be if we had four for each position. There would essentially be players that were never going to fucking touch the field. You know. So, you know, but in this case, as much as he isn't a clairvoyant, you know, if you're already seeing that your starter is really the only one that's playing up to par, and the rest of your players, the rest of the people in that, like, let's say for the left backs, you know, if your only starter, which is Mendy, is the only one that's kind of, you know, in good form, and then Marcelo, who is, you know, a legend, but tragically not in good form, why would you let go of the other left back you had an opportunity to play, you know, in the case of Reguilón? And, you know, but then, like, in the case of Brahim, how was he going to know that Hazard was going to get injured consistently? How was he going to know that Vinicius wasn't going to work out, you know? It's kind of like all of these things. There's, like I said, dude, he's not a clairvoyant. So we can't go into, as much as I sometimes fall into the Zidane needs to be changed thing, it's like you need to also look at all the things that are going around and all the bits and pieces that are moving and all the gears that are shifting in order to realize why the team is not working. And just blaming it on one piece that does some of the work but isn't the only cog in the machine because everything else needs to be running is the wrong way to look at it. And it's just like I said, it goes back to what I've said in the beginning of the podcast. It's been a rough, it's an exciting time for as a podcaster because there's a lot to talk about, but it's a rough time to be a Madridista and to be a fan because it's just terrible to see the team going through what they're going through. You know? It is what it is, though. We got to suffer through it and be with the team in the good and the bad, you know? And it's not all Zidane's fault, although I feel like, you know, I do feel like more and more I'm feeling like his era is over because he, once again, speaking about that whole buddy-buddy thing that I got into and the, you know, the being, you know, understanding how to go from professional to like, these are my friends or these are my teammates and my, you know, I have such good memories with them. So I'm going to treat them nicely because we won so much together and not realize, yeah, but those guys that won so much, that won so much for you in the past are not doing that well right now. Not all of them, of course, but the ones that are not doing well, you don't want to get rid of them or you don't want to sit them down because you feel like you owe them something. Well, that's a problem. And that mindset needs to change. And I just don't think, as much as I love Zidane, I like some of his stubbornness. In this case, his stubbornness will work to continue to fight, at least in the Champions League and in La Liga. That stubbornness to continue, you know, and I hope, like I said, I hope he fires up the rest of the dressing room. It's not going to work in the long term for the project that I think Real Madrid and all of us want to see from Real Madrid, which is, you know, we have some of these youth players out there. We're planning on bringing them back from loans. At least that's what it looks like in a lot of these things. We're planning on bringing in new faces. And you need somebody that's going to be willing to not sit these players down and play the guys that he's cool with, that he's friends with, rather than the players that the team is investing in to sort of usher in a new generation or a new era. A new era with new, you know, new opportunities to win trophies again and get glory again and get Champions Leagues again and everything that Madrid is about. We're about the big trophies, you know, about all the trophies. But the big ones are, of course, the ones that are always on our list. And we should be winning them. And a failure in one of them, even if it's Copa del Rey or Supercopa, it doesn't matter, you know. A trophy is a trophy, and we want all of them. That's the whole idea of Real Madrid. So losing one of them, while people are like, oh, yeah, well, it's Copa del Rey, you know, and Supercopa or whatever, but, you know, for a lot of us, it's still losing a game. It's still, for the press, it's still Real Madrid losing, you know? And then I see, like, a lot of us get caught up in, like, well, you know, like, with, because Barcelona are our rivals, well, you know, they lost the Supercopa. And we only got happy they lost the Supercopa because we got kicked out of the Supercopa, you know? But if they would have won the Supercopa, we would have been like, ah, Supercopa sucks, you know? Supercopa's not worth anything, you know? If they win the Copa del Rey, we'll be like, ah, it's Copa del Rey. Doesn't mean anything. They haven't won Champions League or La Liga. You know, you're going to discount those things. But when we win them, we want them. So we can't be hypocrites, you know? We want all of it. That's what Madrid is for. It's to win all the marbles. It's to win the whole bag. We want the bag. You know what I mean? We don't want just a little bit of cash and a little bit of coins. We want the bag, you know? We want the whole enchilada. We want everything. And the only way to get that is, especially right now, is with a whole new revamping of the shit. You know, we can't have this team anymore playing this way. But we got to see it out till the end of the season, and I'm going to be behind them 100%. You know? I mean, I'm going to rag on them when I can, but we're going to go for it. So I'm happy they won, you know? And I didn't want to be like saying like, oh, you know, it was a bad thing that we won. No, I'm glad we won. But it was the bottom team. And now we got to take this win and continue forward and continue winning and continue winning and continue winning and at least end the season, this nightmare of a season, on a happy note. Yep. So with that said, guys, thank you for listening again to the Real Madrid podcast. Y nada más, el Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and you can always catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at E Nada Más Podcast. You can also check us out on our website, which is enadamas.net. Don't think it's not .com. Somebody has that one, but they don't use it at all. So it's enadamas.net. That is our website. You can find all of our articles from my good friend Trombach, and we're getting some new people that are going to be joining us. And you can also find all the episodes of the podcast. If you don't have like a smartphone and that's not how you listen to us, you can check us out on the desktop, listen to every episode there. In addition to that, if you are interested in writing for us, if you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, whether you have some sort of product to sell that's related to football or related to, you know, something that is relatable to my listeners, to our listeners, check it out. Send us an email at info@inadamas.net. All right, guys. And also remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Real Madrid Hub. That is on YouTube. That is J Real Madrid's channel along with myself. So that is Real Madrid Hub on YouTube. Please subscribe. Help us grow that channel. And that's it, guys. Thank you. Thank you for listening again. And thank you for being a part of the Real Madrid community. A la Madrid and nada más.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid podcast.